Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of RedefinedOnline.org, covering the stories behind the new definition of public education. On this episode, Step Up for Students President Doug Tuthill talks with Senator Lou Anne Linehan, a member of the Nebraska legislature serving its 39th district. The two discuss the senator's longtime push for a tax credit scholarship in the Cornhusker state that came close but fell short of passing the legislature this year. Senator Linehan discusses how her tireless advocacy for low-income children has gained more support than ever this session, the tribalism and nonsensicalness of the arguments of choice opponents, and how hearing powerful stories from beneficiaries of other choice scholarships across the country is opening eyes in Nebraska. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
So I'm excited today to have Nebraska Senator Linehan from Elkhorn, Nebraska. And so, Senator, you've been long a hero of mine, and I can't tell you how honored I am to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you. Well, I'm very happy, and I'm a great fan of yours, and thank you for all you've done for kids. It's wonderful. And it takes, I know how much hard work this is, and you've done a considerable amount and made such great gains. So I'm honored to be with you today.
Well, thank you, Senator. You have been on this great journey in Nebraska. You have been a tireless champion for low-income children in Nebraska having more educational choice. And you've been pushing the tax credit bill there for several years. I'm curious, how did you get into this? How did you start thinking about education choice? How did you decide to make this something that was a passion of yours? Let's just start there, and then we'll sort of talk about the history that you've been through in Nebraska.
Well, it was, I've been very lucky in life. I kind of don't ever have a major plan, and I just keep falling forward. Actually, my focus on education goes back to my own childhood. I struggled with reading. Nobody understood that I clearly, I call it dyslexic, whatever. I couldn't read until I was in high school. So it changed my life and changed my whole trajectory. So then when my children started going to school, I have four of them, my son struggled with reading, and right away it was like, well, you know, we don't know. And I'm like, no, I know exactly what's going on here. So we moved.
Yeah.
We literally went school shopping, and we moved from the neighborhood was supposed to be a great school system into another great public school system that had more money than kids. And the school system we were in was busting at the seams. They were in trailers. Nobody's fault. They just didn't have the time. So we picked an elementary school. We moved there. He went all the way through that system and then through college, and he's now military, very successful. And then when my daughters got to that age, they all ended up in private schools because we could afford it.
Right.
So then when you see this, you talk to parents who can't have those options, it's just became a passion of mine. Not that I have other passions, but this one is the longer it takes, the more I'm absolutely gonna fight to the very end. So I'm excited because when I first got here and talked to people didn't even want to talk to me about it. They didn't want to have meetings about it. They were afraid to even speak school choice. And now we get to 29 cloture votes. So we're very close to a win here.
When did you first introduce legislation?
Well, I didn't introduce it my first year here. The chairman of the Revenue Committee, Jim Smith, had already introduced the bill, and I prioritized it.
Okay.
So the first couple of years, it was a priority. And then so I've been here. This is my fifth year. So the first year, it was a priority of mine, somebody else's bill. And then I think I've introduced it every year since then.
Yeah, I know Nebraska's kind of interesting because you guys establish a certain number of bills as priorities, and that guarantees they get heard. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I am in a situation where chairman of the revenue committee, so I get two committee priorities and my own personal priority, and this has always been my personal priority.
So you made progress over the years in terms of first starting with nobody even willing to talk to you, and then over the years adding more and more support. So let's talk about this session. I mean, there was a lot of excitement around the country. People are watching it really closely. People know how hard you've been working to push this rock up the hill. And there was this sense that LB 364, you know, had a real shot of passing this year. Talk about what happened during the legislative session, how it progressed, Yeah, just sort of tell the story of what happened this session.
First, we had to get it out of the Revenue Committee. And since I was chairman, I didn't think that would be that difficult. But surprise to me, it was a little more difficult than I thought. And then we finally got Senator Mike Flood to commit to vote it out of committee. And that was a huge win. And the thing about just Senator Flood, he doesn't jump quickly. But once he jumps, he's all in. So he became a huge champion of it. Tom Breezy, who wouldn't have voted for it, I don't even know if he'd voted for it last year, became a big champion. And we had the committee, except for a couple, were all in. So that was hugely helpful. And then we get to the floor, and the arguments are just against it are nonsensical. So who it's us versus the school lobby. And it's not just the teachers union. Actually, I don't even think the teachers union are the worst ones. It's the school administrators who are just, they really don't like this. And here's why. Here's the naughty little secret of Nebraska. So we have we have option enrollment between public schools in Nebraska. And if you leave Omaha Public Schools and go to Westside, for instance, the state sends Westside $10,000 for that student. And Westside, a third of their students are option kids. So they get significant amount of money for option students. We have one school district in Nebraska in Grand Island. There's three high schools in that area. One is Grand Island Central Catholic, one is Grand Island Public, and then there's a donut around Grand Island, which is probably majority minority Latino. And there's a donut around it that's Northwest Public Schools, and they are 80% option kids. So the administrators, and they talk to their school boards, obviously, they don't want those kids to have a different option. And this doesn't sound like big money if you're from a big state, but Nebraska is not that big of a state. We spend about $1.4 billion state funding on education out of the 4.5 that we spend. 100 million of that 1.4 is option funding.
Wow. So how have you been able to make progress? How have you been able to recruit folks like Senator Flood and other folks? I mean, over the years, you've been building up and building up and building up. What are the arguments that are having some effect on those folks that you've been able to recruit to the EdChoice movement?
This, I have to give huge amounts of credit to all the school choice organizations across the country. You came in, but I had huge help from outside the state, and American Federation for Children this year was very helpful in recruiting people to come in and testify at the hearing. And we had several Nebraska, the Catholic Conference, we found kids coming in telling their own story. Yeah. And it was, if I could have that group, that hearing, and everybody in the legislature at that hearing, we would have passed the bill.
Yeah.
And then the other reality of the situation is the teachers union, teacher school lobby, whatever, they're very politically powerful when it comes to the legislature. They get in races in a very big way. They could basically bankroll a whole campaign. And if you're against them, they're more than willing to go after you. So they've spent $50,000 and $60,000 trying to beat somebody in a race over $150,000 in Nebraska is a very expensive race. So it's the power of pushing through that. And we did have a big win because of all this noise over here. We also have in our currently we had a textbook loan program that's supposed to basically give private schools textbooks, because if they were in the public school, they'd be getting the textbooks. And that hadn't been increased for over a decade. And we got that bumped up $1 million each year for the next 2 years. And I think we can come back and keep bumping that up too. So we had a win. I think we need to do more of that next year.
The other thing that people are fascinated about in Nebraska is it is a majority Republican state. And around the country, the Republican Party tends to be identified a lot stronger with education freedom, education choice, school choice. So it seems like Nebraska being such a heavily Republican state that they would get in line with the other Republican legislators around the country that are pushing this agenda. Is there something unique about Nebraska? Is it the fact that you have such a rural areas, and in those rural areas, the districts have a lot more influence over the legislators?
Yes. I mean, I do think that's part of it. And there's a lack of understanding of what it really is. So we have this struggle in Nebraska. We've had it for decades. It continues. We depend way too much on property taxes to pay for schools.
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on what chart you look at, but you have to get to New York and Connecticut before you're in the same ballpark we are.
Wow.
So we're much higher than any of the states around us. So every time you go to do anything with schools, it's always, property taxes are going to go up, or this steals money, or the schools are going to lose money, and we'll have to have more property taxes. It's a false argument. Yeah. It's not true. Several people that represent ag areas voted for the bill this year. So I think we beat that down. We haven't beat it quite to the ground yet. There's a couple of people that need to understand that that is not the issue. The private schools, and this is the other thing, and public schools never want to admit this, but we have 10% of kids in the state in private schools. But in some counties, Platte, Columbus, and Norfolk, those two large areas for Nebraska, they have 25% of kids in private schools. That saves the taxpayers. I mean, you're talking about having to build additional buildings, right? Not just teachers and classrooms. So educating people on what the reality is. And there's been no counter to the teachers union for like years. There's been no counter to them. And the other huge hero in this, I should not forget, is Governor Ricketts. And he put it in his budget this year, which is the first time he'd done that. So they gave us wind to our back. And he's also always said he's been for choice. He always comes to school choice rallies, and our lieutenant governor's all in. So that's helped a lot too.
I read a lot of the arguments that people made on the floor during the debate, and all of those things have been demonstrated to be false, at least in Florida. You know, we have in 20 years of data now. You know, when people say it hurts the district schools and it has adverse effects on the achievement, we have a lot of data showing all that stuff's not true. Now, I know facts are hard to get into a debate. You know, when people sort of get into their tribal positions, facts are kind of irrelevant. I know that. But over time, you know, we do have a lot of facts on your side. So hopefully over time that will help.
Yes, and I have too much of my career. I like think facts matter, and I'm learning they don't. They don't.
They do sometimes, but sometimes they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to win. What is the rule? You have to win with emotion and then back it up with facts. Yeah.
I was wondering, you know, the whole concept of education savings accounts is really picking up a lot of steam around the country. And, you know, the value of those, as you, I'm sure you know, is that you have so much flexibility because so many kids need things outside of school day, you know, particularly special needs kids. You know, we have the largest one in Florida in the country, and occupational therapy, physical therapy. There's a lot of needs that kids have. And so I'm wondering, would an ESA have a better chance of passing in Nebraska? Because it sort of gets away from the public school versus private school, because the kids can oftentimes use these things well beyond simply private schools. And in most states, we also allow ESA funds to be spent back in the district schools. So you could go in and say, you know, there's an occupational therapist in this district that I really like to purchase services from, or there's a couple courses here, et cetera. Do you think that might have a better chance of getting traction if there's more expenditure opportunities for families? Would that undermine some of the criticism that this is simply a public school versus private school issue?
I don't know. I mean, I love the education savings. I think it would be as hard as this has been to change like the subject now. Here's what I've been convinced of all along. We have to have a win.
Right.
And once we have a win,
right,
the world doesn't end.
Right.
And all their arguments turn out to be false.
Right.
Then there's, you know, then the door's open and we can do all kinds of things.
Right.
And we just don't, and we're kind of, Nebraskans are, we say things continually that are not true. Like our schools are great. We have a couple of really good ones, but we're falling behind. We're falling behind Florida.
Yeah.
Our scores are flat and declining.
Right.
We have the largest gap between kids of color and white kids in the nation.
Yeah.
And yet we stand up on the floor and say, we got great schools. It's like, no,
Right.
And the trouble with that is you can't get better if you don't recognize you have an issue.
Right.
So, but this debate, when they started that, I took over facts and I said, I'm not here to beat up public schools, but if you get up and say that we're all these things, I'm going to tell you you're not. So that issue went off the table. Because our ACT scores in the state drop a full point if you take the private schools out, and they're only 10% of the kids.
Wow. And that's where, you know, when you have legislators who represent low-income communities and communities of color, when they stand up and speak, it's really hard to ignore those people because they really are, you know, they're living it and it's in their communities. And, you know, they've been particularly persuasive in Florida and other states. So I'm glad to see that they're also speaking from their hearts in Nebraska. Because you think over time, I mean, everybody has a good heart, right? I mean, there's nobody in this debate that wants to do wrong for kids.
I don't know, too close to it right now to agree with that statement.
But, you know, but at least at least they think they're on the side of the angels. At least they think they believe in equal opportunity. And so when you have people really, you know, speaking and showing them examples where it's not true, then maybe over time, you know, we'll get there and be able to prevail in Nebraska.
I feel like we're in a really good place. And I have to give the other thing that has happened, and this has been help from groups like yours and others. We have built a grassroots system here. The Catholic Conference has been really good. The Family Alliance has been really good. And we have, when I started this, nobody got emails about school choice. Now people get more emails pro than they get con. And that's just, that we read our, all politicians pay attention to their constituents, right? So that has been a big, big shift and hugely helpful.
Well, you know, I'm always happy when we get legislation passed in Florida, but I have to tell you a little secret. When this bill passes in Nebraska, I'm going to be thrilled. You will hear a champagne cork pop all the way in Nebraska because I will be dancing around. I will be as happy as any legislation that's ever passed because I know I've just been so impressed with what you've done over the years and your perseverance, and you just keep pushing and pushing, and you're just an inspiration. And I want to tell you, people around the country are watching and they're pulling for you. And again, I just want you to know, you're just a tireless fire for these kids, and I want to tell you how much people really appreciate and honor. And I know you're in the middle of it. It doesn't, it feels like, you know, you feel like you're alone in the middle of a hurricane, but people around the country are really pulling for you and really believe in you and respect what you're doing and are inspired by what you're doing.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to Denisha and others that have been here several times with AFC, and they inspire me. I mean, I grew up not rich. Well, actually, I thought we were. Because, you know, it's all comparative, right? You think, well, we have two cars. Used, but we have them. We've never went hungry because I grew up on a dairy farm. There was always food. Yeah. So I was hugely lucky. And then you hear from these kids who, like, didn't know where they were going to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And schools basically saved them.
Yeah.
And every child and parent should have an opportunity.